We praise you tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all you have shown to us in these days. We give you once more our hearts tonight. We empty ourselves from anything else, that we can receive new revelation from you. Lord Jesus, reveal your church to us. Just to remind you, please turn off your cell phones. Please check it and turn it off. Are we not all happy this morning to be human beings created in the image of God, to show forth the Lord? This was such an impression this morning. When this morning, many, after I talked with some after the meeting, then many told me, yes, we are really in a big work today. It's so wonderful that we are human beings and we are saved human beings. That we are people who live in this time today and with whom God wants to finish his purpose. This was so good to see. Man is created in the image of God. We human beings, we are here to express God. And this was the purpose why God created Adam. But Adam fell. And this did not just bring sin into him. This even led to this point that man failed in his calling to express God. There is this verse in Romans 3:23, all have sinned, and what is the consequence? They all lack the glory of God. They fall short of the glory of God. So man is there for the glory of God, but through the fall of man, he doesn't express his glory anymore. But praise the Lord, we treasure to see that Christ is the true Adam. This is so important to see this. Adam, as all the points we have seen in Genesis 1, is a picture of the reality that is in Christ. All what we have seen in these 6 days is all a shadow, that's how the New Testament says, of all a shadow for what we can experience in Christ today. The same is true with Adam. So when we read the story of Adam, it's not really about how did man come into being, but God wants to show us his Christ. One verse in the New Testament that will prove that to you, Romans 5:14, I read it to you, Romans 5:14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even to those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. He is a type of him who was to come.
So der Adam, der geschaffen war für die Herrlichkeit Gottes,
Adam that was created for the glory of God, he fell. But Jesus Christ came and he restored this calling of man. And the topic of this Young People's Conference is God's work of restoration. And I really trash it again, Colossians 1, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And now we understand this verse much better. Christ in us is the hope of calling, because now through Christ again, we have a way to express God's glory again. And that's how we need to see the Lord. Not just that he gives us life and fills us, but that through him we come back to the full purpose of our life. And tonight we want to continue Genesis chapter 2. This morning we read chapter 1 in verse 26. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. How did he make this man? It's written in 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. He created them as male and female.
It's
mentioned like this in chapter 1. But in chapter 2, he shows us even clearer how he made man. He made out of Adam. He formed out of Adam a woman. And he did not make this woman as Adam, but he was building her. And later in chapter 3, we can see that this woman was called Eve. This woman was built out of Adam as a counterpart for him. When we look to chapter 2, we need to read Ephesians 5. These two passages really belong together. So if we go to Ephesians 5, and we can see, what does Paul actually talk about in this passage? He speaks of Christ and the church. On one side, he talks about man and woman, husband and wife. But he relates this to Christ and the church. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And verse 31, after having talked about it a little bit, he quotes a verse from Genesis chapter 2. In verse 31 of Ephesians 5, he says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this actually is a quote from Genesis 2:24, where God actually said the exact same thing. And now there is verse 32 in Ephesians 5. And verse 32 is so important, because now Paul explains what actually Genesis 1 God talked about. And he said, this mystery is great, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is really important to see. Adam and Eve are a picture of Christ and the church. As Adam is a type of Christ, so is Eve built through, out of the rib of Adam, a type of the church. And this mystery is great. In the Bible there are quite many mysteries. Some things the Lord really has to reveal to us. This morning we had Colossians 1. Christ is the mystery of the ages. In another verse it says, Christ is a mystery of God. So Christ is also a mystery. If you read the Bible, you need revelation to see the Lord. But here it is written, it's not just a mystery, but it's a great mystery. To see the church is a great mystery. That means it's even one level higher. So, if it's about Eve, we have to see, although Christ is so rich, and I think we all have enjoyed a conference to see from one meeting to another how rich is our Christ, there is still something more for God that is even higher and richer, and this is the church. And this great mystery the Lord really has to reveal to us. When we prepared for this meeting with some saints, we had again and again this burden that we will not now go through many points of the church, explain it, and say what the Bible all says about the church. That really touch the heart of the Lord, that we really receive revelation from the Lord. Quite many of us are for such a long time in the church and know the teaching of the church. They know maybe many points of what can be said about the church, but what we need is revelation. So Paul was the same. He saw this great mystery. How did he see it? Let's go to chapter 3, Ephesians 3 in the beginning. Ephesians 3, verse 2. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, sorry, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. Paul received knowledge of this mystery by revelation. He did not see because he was so able and capable. No, he received revelation. That means we can all receive revelation. We need to tell the Lord, Lord, reveal this mystery to me. Lord Jesus Christ, reveal the church to me. A brother just said briefly before, when we prayed, Matthew 16:18, he closed his Bible on the chair because he thought, oh, I know this verse. And the Lord touched him, repent, and tell the Lord again, maybe I know so much, but show me again and anew the church. It is so important. We know so much about the church. We have heard so much about it. But if it doesn't burn in our heart to build the church, then we can forget all about it. Then it's even better that we have not known so. Because one day the Lord will come back and tell you, you have known everything about the church, but you did not do it. You did not build it. So let's tell the Lord, Lord, reveal the church to me anew. Maybe I have seen it many times. And you will say, oh, yes, right now I even burn for the church. But we should still say to the Lord, Lord, reveal it anew to me. And he continues to say, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of man. Here he says that this mystery was not made known in other ages to the sons of man. And now does he say, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, it's by the Spirit that you receive revelation. He emphasizes this mystery you can only see through revelation in the Spirit. We can ask of the Lord, Lord Jesus, I have the Spirit, reveal it to me. And here he says, there was a time when this mystery was hidden. And it is really like this. If you read the Old Testament, the other generations he's talking about here, the church is not able to be seen so clearly. The church life, as we know it today, is not spoken of in the Old Testament, really. You can see a lot of Christ, but the church is so hidden. But still, you see quite many portions of the Old Testament how God put their types and examples of the church. And you can see this in the different buildings that God has done in the Old Testament. Why did God have several buildings in the Old Testament? Like here, it's written that he built Eve. And then we see later that he was building the ark through Noah. God was again having a building. This was a little bigger than Eve. And then later you have the tabernacle. This was again something that God wants to be built through his people. And later on you see the temple. And all these buildings, you can see that they increase in glory. And one thing they have all in common. The reason why God wanted to have them, he wants to dwell among his people. And this here we can see with Eve. What did he say in Genesis 2:18? In the German Bible it says, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. In some Bible translations, I will make him a counterpart. The Lord wants to have a counterpart. He did not just create man, that man now will do something on this earth and express him. But he wants to be near to man. He wants to dwell among his people. That's why you see in the Old Testament, God said again and again, build me the tabernacle, build me the temple. What happened after he finished it? His glory moved into the building. And this shows what a heart our God has. God did not just create us and place us in this world. He wants to be near to us. He wants to have a fellowship with man. Lord Jesus Christ, we have to touch the heart of our God. Our God has such a desire. He's the Almighty God. So we maybe ask ourselves, God is so perfect. He's perfect in glory. What does he lack? But God lacks something. He wants to have man. He wants to have this kind of fellowship with man. This was the hidden mystery in the Old Testament. And then in Ephesians 3, Paul said that now it is revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. In Ephesians 3, verse 9, he says the grace that he received is to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church and to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So here he shows what is this mystery. Paul's whole ministry was to reveal this mystery, to make all see. We have heard quite a lot about the light. What is the light needed for? It is needed for to reveal this mystery. In verse 9 it is written, it was hidden from the beginning of the ages. God has planned a church before he has planned anything. We have heard this about our personal election, that God chose us before the foundation of the world. That's what we had in Ephesians 1:4. But now we have to see, not just we as individuals, but church. The church is planned by God from eternity past. And now is the time that God now wants to make known something through the church. And in the New Testament, there are many more verses. We cannot read them all, but there are many verses that show the house of God in the New Testament is the church. And this is what God actually wants to have, what Eve shows to us. Eve wants to have the church. Eve is only a type of what God, to show us what God really wants. So let's read Revelation chapter 21. Let's read Revelation chapter 21. It's very wise how God divided the Bible into different sections. In the second chapter from the front, he reveals Adam and Eve, and the second to the last, he reveals him and his bride. The Bible begins with Christ and the church, and it ends with Christ and the church. So let's read Revelation 21, verse 2. Let's all read it together. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband.
Amen. As we here see, is
what we see here is the end of the Bible. It's the end of this age. And John sees here a revelation. He sees the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And we know from verses like Hebrews 12:22, you can read that later for yourself, that this New Jerusalem is the church today. The church is not just the house of the living God, it is the city of the living God. And the church is the heavenly Jerusalem. Even the Jerusalem back then, in the Old Testament, was just a type of the church. So we have to really see how important is the church to God. And here, in this passage, it says she was adorned as a bride for her husband. And now, let's read verse 9 and 10 in Revelation 21, all the way to 11. 9, all the way to 11, just the beginning of it. Then one of the seven angels who had his seven bowls filled with his seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show to you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Amen. Having the glory of God.
Yeah.
Verse 9 is so precious. The angel says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." Here we see two times the church is really the bride of the Lord. It's why the Lord chose this picture of Adam and Eve to show Christ and the church. And this is so precious. The Lord showed the church on the fourth day of creation through the moon. And the moon is wonderful. And he shines in the darkness. And this is really a function of the church. The church needs to shine in darkness. But this moon is a limited picture. In a way, it's that stone only. But he's shining, but he's not living. Moon is not living at all. But in chapter 2, God continues to show. That there is Adam and Eve, so he shows again the church. Isn't that wonderful that God shows two times Christ and the church in just the work of restoration? And here he shows them a more complete picture that the church is a bride of Christ. A bride is something very special, something very living. I hope his wife is alive. I doesn't know why. Well, he got married a month ago. And bride, it shows it's a matter of relationship. What do you expect from your bride when she's one day around? She should love you, he says. This is important. The most important is the bride should only love you. The church is not just a body that has a function. The church is a wonderful counterpart of Christ. The church is something that is in such a love relationship to Christ. And this is what you can see in Revelation 21. This is fully manifested and revealed. And we see very clearly it's Christ and the church. It's so wonderful how the angel says, "Come, I will show you the bride." What is at the end of the Bible the most precious what God has to show? If we had written the Bible, we would have thought, "Oh, what do I write at the end? What is the best to write at the end?" And here it is. Great meaning to it. God, at the end, he shows his bride. This, "Come, and I will show you." There's such a pride of God in it. He shows his bride fully prepared that came down from heaven. And this is so wonderful. This is what was really on God's heart. Today it's very Sadly, it's very sad, it's like this, that in religion, most Christians are so perverted in their understanding, they think they will just go to heaven one day. But this city comes down from heaven on the earth. And she was in the heaven before and prepared. So many before, we live on this earth. We Christians live today very earthly-minded and hope to go to heaven one day. But the bride is getting prepared in heaven and comes down to the earth. It's just the other way around. And this is so important for us to see. The bride comes down from out of heaven, from God. Today the church is built on this earth practically, but the spiritual reality is that she's getting prepared in the heavens. That's why you had this word that we should live in a heavenly way. We should live in the spirit. We will come to that point, how to build this Eve. But now back to Genesis 2:18. This verse 18 is very precious. The Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I think we need to really touch this verse. Did you realize in chapter 1 God always said, oh, it was good. And in the end he said, after having looked at everything, he said, it was very good. Everything what God did was very good. And all of a sudden, chapter 2, there is a verse that says, it is not good. All of a sudden, there's something that is missing, and this is not good. And this man who was here by himself, this is Christ. And this is as God says, it is not good that Christ should be alone. Isn't that amazing? Who has thought of this? After having seen how rich our Lord is, we have used this word all-inclusive or unsearchable rich. The Lord is everything for us, and the sacrifices for every need we have, He is the answer. He is perfect. But still God says, it is not good that this Christ should be alone. I will make Him a helper comparable to Him. And this is the same today with the believers today. There are always a few who say, oh, I'm only for Christ. Sounds very spiritual and good. But God said, it is not good. It is not good to only have Christ. There's a need for Eve. There's a need for the church. And this is why this verse is really precious. It shows Christ alone is not sufficient for God. He wants to have the church. And the 6 days work, we see that Christ and the church is the crown of God's restoration work. The last thing God made was the Eve. And what we'll see tomorrow morning, on the seventh day, there's a Sabbath rest. There was this perfection, and God was fully satisfied. But as long as there was Adam by himself, God was not yet satisfied. There's a need to do more today. And what we need to do today is to build a church. And tomorrow morning, we'll hear about the end of this age. But tonight I want to say, this age will be finished when the church is finished. Let's read this verse from Psalm 102, verse 17. Psalm 102, verse 17. Look at this, yeah. Another picture that the Bible uses for the church is Zion. Zion is a picture for the church. And Eve is a type of the church. Let's read this verse now. Then we read, instead of Zion, read the church. It's verse 16 in English. Psalm 102, verse 16. For the Lord shall build up Eve. He shall appear in His glory. in German is, when the Lord has built up Eve, then he shall appear in his glory. Such a clear verse, and there are many more. God wants to finish this age. God wants to finish this dark age. But there is a condition, and this is Zion or Eve. The church has to be fully built, and then Revelation will take place. Then the bride will come down from heaven. She will come down. It is wonderful to see the picture of the bride. On one side we build the Eve, and on the other side it's a preparation like the bride prepares herself. And the bride comes down out of heaven when she's fully prepared. This needs to touch our heart. We are called into something amazing and awesome. The Lord needs to stir our spirit more, that we really burn for it. What we do today in the church is the greatest work in the whole universe. When the Lord will open our eyes for the church, we'll all be so excited. Nobody has to explain them to us anymore. Why is the church important? That's why our burden tonight was not to go through all the points and to explain a lot. If we see what we actually do today in the church, and this burns in our heart, this will focus our life. This will change our life. Sometimes, when you look to the church outwardly, and especially in smaller places, you'll see, oh, it's not that exciting. This morning, a sister said at a breakfast table from Zurich, she said, oh, we are there in the young people's meeting 17. And her colleague told her, why do you give so much for that? You are only 17 people and you give so much? And this is really the case. Sometimes when people look to the church from the outward, it doesn't look very big, it doesn't look very exciting. But this is the reason that we need revelation. When we have the revelation, if the Lord has shown us once what a church is, and we touched his heart, we will burn for the church. The church is something so important for our God, the most precious in his heart. And we are chosen for the church. Especially those who just came into the church life, like Marcus. You came into the church life, you tasted something, you have touched the Lord, and you said, oh, here I want to be. And at this time maybe you thought, oh, I take my decision for the church. But I have to tell you, God has chosen you for the church. It was not our choice. The Lord has not just created us to express Christ, not just to be an image of God, but we are created for the church. We have such a consciousness. When we go to the meeting, we think, oh, I go to the meeting again. Oh, we maybe pray, and hopefully we pray. And we say, Lord Jesus, come to you, I seek you, appear to me. So we're used to go to the meetings. But we should really go with this consciousness. We are in the center of the universe. We're in the center of God's plan. Dear saints, when we have seen this, we don't want to be anywhere else anymore. You will have no problem anymore that the world will draw you. You will have no problem anymore to give yourself. When we touch this, we'll all give ourselves fully for the church. And we few people, and we are all not very capable, we have really a way to bring the living God back. Today there are many politicians, they think, oh, we got so much power. But actually, we brothers and sisters in the church, John 1:12 says, we have received power to become children of God. There's a power in it. Because it depends on us When Christ will come back, it depends on us. What a grace and what a responsibility. The church is not a small thing. We should not take it for granted. It's such a grace for each and every one of us to be in the church. We should really thank the Lord every day. Every day bring an offering of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that I am the church. I praise you for the church. There is nothing greater on this earth, really so. For men, it's very unimportant. But the principalities and powers, they look to the church. All the invisible world, all the angels, God, from the angels of God and Satan, they all look to the church. They look every day what we are doing here. Oh, we think we just have a meeting here, but they look what we are doing. And I think especially the angels of God, they are zealous for it as well. They can do much, but it really matters, it depends on us people. I think many times they think, why are you so slow? Why do you just get half-hearted yourself? That's why the Lord has to speak so much to us in this conference. He wants to gain our heart fully, that we give ourselves completely for the church. When we all go to the church and our heart burns for the church, then there is a great gain. We need the fire of God in our heart, that we are not indifferent about His purpose, that we are not take it for granted to be in the church. And it says also, He only built one Eve. And this is a principle that we can see throughout the whole Bible. God only wants to have one church. We have seen this about the moon. There's only one sun and one moon. There are many stars. You can see the stars. These are the believers. There are many believers on this earth today. There are many different kinds of believers. But there's only one church. God only built one Eve. So up to today, it's very normal for all of us. One man, at least in Germany, has one wife. One man has one wife. No one doubts about that. Stefan, he asked the question when it was about the moon. If somebody asks you, who's your wife? Nobody will ask question, who's your wife? Which one is your wife? And the same we see here, there's only Adam and Eve. And all the buildings in the Old Testament, God said all the time, very clearly, there's one place that I have chosen. This morning we read Psalm 132. God has chosen one place. And whatever man and the people of Israel, when they started to build up other worship places, then God became really angry. This principle we can see throughout the whole Old Testament, although the church was pretty hidden then. And in the New Testament, it is very clear there's only one church. It's very good for us to see the truth of the Bible clearly. Don't look to the situation today. If you first look to the situation and then the Bible, you get confused. But look to the Bible first with a pure heart and a clear spirit. You will see very clearly one Christ, one church. So one Eve was built by God. God did not build three Eves for Adam and said, choose one. No, He built only one Eve. And what was there about many? There were a lot of other creatures. These were the animals that He created before Eve. In Genesis 2:18, God had the plan to create, to give him a counterpart. And then verse 19 says, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he could call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there's a but. There was not found a counterpart for him. There was no counterpart for him. And these animals, all these birds and animals, they are a picture for the many, many divisions and denominations that exist today. Man has made so many things with the attempt to build a church. It's really like this. If you look at a situation today, if you say one church, most of the people cannot understand that, because we are far away from that to have one church in unity. There's so many groups, divisions, denominations. The Christians have divided themselves up into so many different groups. And what we have to see very clearly for those who are here for the first time, the Bible knows only one single reason to separate the church. This is in different cities. This is the only reason why there are several churches in plural, because of different cities where the saints meet. But there is no other reason for the church to be divided. And in Revelation 1, you see the letters is written to seven churches in seven cities. So in every city you have one gold lampstand. And in the book of Acts, it's very simple. In Jerusalem, there is one church in Jerusalem. Most of us know this, but this is very important to see once again. This is the principle of God in the Bible. There's only one church. And this is the only reason and only practical reason to be divided, because we just cannot all meet in one place at one time, is that we are grouped in the different cities. But you see in the New Testament, one church in one city. There's not two churches in one city. And definitely not a place like Stuttgart, where you have hundreds of groups in one city. This is not God's will. So even the churches in the New Testament, they were not separated from each other. They all had fellowship among each other, because it's actually one church, but it just meet in different cities. This is what the Bible tells us, and we should not think, because today this is not the case, and there are so many groups. This is not valuable. This doesn't count for us anymore. No, the Lord wants to have one church. And then we need to ask ourselves, what is missing today? We have 2,000 years of history that passed by since the Lord did His work to bring forth the church. And in these 2,000 years, so many things happened with the church till today, till this present situation. And you need to ask yourself, why did Christ not come back yet? In the first meeting, we heard the Lord is coming back soon. And this is really true, so. And in many of us, this is the feeling, Christ is coming back soon. But what is missing? There must be something that is missing. Why did the Lord not come back after 2,000 years? Is the reason that there are too few Christians? I don't think this is the reason. There are so many Christians. Even today we have millions of Christians. In these 2,000 years, there were all the time many believers. So this is definitely not the reason that the number was too small. So what's the reason? That's why Genesis 2 is so important. They show us some very important principles how to build Eve that God will be satisfied with. God is not yet satisfied. Eve is there to fully satisfy God. But today this is not the case yet. So what are we missing? What are we missing? Genesis 2, Let's continue to read verse 19 and 20.
Und dann kommt,
oh, we just read that.
Vers 21.
Now we read 21.
Nachdem Adam gesagt
and the Lord,
es fand sich noch kein Gegenüber,
after Adam said, dann kommt there was 21. Not a counterpart for him, then now 21 comes. And this is really the case today. These animals, it's as if today you show all these Christian groups to the Lord, and it's like the Lord tells them, there is not a counterpart for me. And how does this counterpart come forth? The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. 22, then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. It's written that the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. This is a picture how Christ died on the cross for the church. We read Ephesians 5:25 in the beginning. And it's written very clearly, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is very good to see. When we think of the cross, we think, oh, the Lord died for my sins, which is true. But the real reason, the main reason for the Lord, he went to the cross for the church. This was the reason. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Galatians 2:20, it says that he gave himself for me. Ephesians 5:25 is written that he gave himself for the church. For this the Lord gave himself. And
davor hat Gott die Erde benutzt.
Here you can see that God used the ground, the soil, to build all these beasts and animals. But now here he uses something out of Adam. And this is his rib. And the rib is a picture for the life that was released through the death of the Lord. We all know maybe this passage when the soldier pierced the side of the Lord Jesus after his death. And blood and water came out of his side. And this is very meaningful. There was not just blood for our sins, but there was also water. And this is a picture for the life of the Lord that he has released. This is not there that I only have life for myself, but it is for the church. This life is for the church. And this rib is for the life of the Lord and for the substance of the Lord. The building material of Eve is completely and exclusively out of Adam. And if Adam is a picture of Christ, then what is the substance of Christ today? 2 Corinthians chapter 3:17. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17. Now, the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen. The Herr is der Geist.
The Lord is a spirit.
Ja, der Herr ist heute der Geist.
The Lord is today the spirit. So what is a rib, this substance out of Adam? It is the spirit. The Lord is the spirit. He's the spirit in our spirit. Although we have heard and seen it three times, I still want to put it on the board. Three circles. Body, soul, and spirit.
Mm.
We are created with a human spirit. And the Lord lives today in us. We all know this and have heard this before. But tonight, our burden is this Spirit of the Lord in us is a building material for Eve. This is what we build the church with today. Let's read John 4. These verses we read before, verse 23 and 24. To see what God needs today to build the Eve. John 4:23-24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. It's written very clearly, God is Spirit. The church is something that is only out of Adam. The church is something only out of Christ. You cannot build a church with earthen materials. If we do so, the Lord will say, I won't accept it. And this earthen material is there all the time if we live and we try to build a church in the soul or in the body. We have the Spirit in us. The Lord is the Spirit. And now God seeks such who worship in spirit and in truth. And to relate it to the church, God seeks such who build the church in the Spirit. And this verse is definitely the answer today. What is God missing today? God searches for these people who worship in truth and spirit. If God has to search all of their millions of Christians, then it's very sure that there are not many who are like this. So God seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We have heard this before, but the question now is, how much do we live a life in the Spirit? We all have enjoyed this verse in the last days, Galatians 5:16, where it says, but I say to you, walk by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall. And 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, if we already have received life through the Spirit, and we say so many times, Lord, give me life, fill me with your life, if we do so, then let us also walk through the Spirit. And this walking refers to our whole life. We need to learn to walk by the Spirit. We shall not think, oh, the church is only built when we sit in the meeting. Maybe we think like this sometimes. We think, oh, I do my studies, I do my work, I'm home and family, I have to do my business. And tonight at 7:30 I go to the meeting and then we build a church. Maybe we don't think consciously like this, but many times we live like this. When we come to the meeting, praise the Lord, many of us have this habit to turn to the Spirit, to say, Lord, I turn to my Spirit. I want to touch you in the meeting. And it's good like this. In the meeting, we have to have this attitude, I want to be in my Spirit. If you sit in the meeting, you are not in your Spirit. It's like as you build Eve with the ground, material from the ground. And don't think just because you sit in the last row that you don't build. everybody builds here. Because everybody of us is a member of the church. Everybody is a member, a part of this Eve. We should not think, oh, when I'm silent, I'm out of it. Oh, this has no impact on the church. This is not right. In a meeting, it's good to say, Lord, I'm in the Spirit. And if I say something, if I pray or I wish a song, Lord, it should be through the Spirit. It is an exercise. Don't just propose the song because you like the melody. Maybe you like the melody and it sounds nice, but there's a danger. If we are like this, we are living in the realm of the soul, and this is the ground. Or if you share something, it's good to say before, Lord Jesus, only in the Spirit. I don't want to say anything in your house what is from myself. We should be different. Oh, then I won't say anything anymore. Oh, before I don't say anything myself, I will not say anything anymore. We can also trust the Lord. Lord, if you give me something, and we have this attitude to live in the Spirit, the Lord will give us something. And even if it's just a verse, the Lord will give it to us. And this is so important that we come together in the Spirit, because the Eve is only built in the Spirit. But a meeting is really not everything. If we only build a church in a meeting, this would be really poor. Because, as the brother said, we are not even 10% of our time in the meeting life. Most of the other time, we live our life. That's why Paul says to him, walk by the Spirit. Spirit is not just there that we use it in a meeting, but the Spirit is in us that we use it all the time. This is the part that is the most deep within us, and it's the most beautiful and wonderful part in us. But many times our soul and flesh is so nearer to us. We know our weaknesses, we know our strong points, we look so much to the feeling, we live in our mind, but we have the Spirit to walk by it, to walk in it. So we should not think, oh, what we do in our personal life has nothing to do with the church. This is not true. How much we walk in the Spirit has a direct impact on the church life. Our burden is that we have this attitude, Lord, everything I am doing, I want to do it through the Spirit. When the brother shared about a meal offering, he brought all these examples, studies, or falling asleep with the Lord, or work, and he mentioned how he talked with brothers and sisters, and when he said, did you ever come to this idea to do it together with the Lord? Some really wondered how to do that with the Lord. How do you say about this, to study in the Spirit? That shows we have many times this concept that these are separate things. We have the meeting life and we have our personal life. And many times, we don't have this consciousness to walk in the Spirit by all we do. And this is really what is lacking, that this Eve will be built. The Lord needs people who walk all the time by the Spirit. What do you think of when you wake up in the morning? It's good to tell the Lord, Lord, today I walk by my Spirit. We need this consciousness, the morning when you wake up. We are now natural being. If you wake up in the morning, you need to turn to your Spirit. You are not automatically in your Spirit. It's such a good habit to say, Lord, my Spirit. Or when we go to work, when you go to study, have this habit to say every morning on the way, Lord Jesus, walk by my Spirit. Maybe there is not anything special to do. You just go to a class, You have no special duties, but to say, tell the Lord, Lord, I want to walk by the Spirit, because it has to do with the church. If we don't exercise in our daily life to walk by the Spirit, you cannot all of a sudden in church life serve and just switch and be full of Spirit and full of life. This will not work. We need the many opportunities in our daily life to exercise so. For this we have the Spirit. Or how is it in the family? We had a testimony of the brother, how he experienced a peace offering in his family life. How many times I myself have experienced this? You are together with the brothers and sisters, and you are in the Spirit, and you have fellowship in the Spirit, and then you come home to the family, you are fully in your flesh. I have experienced this many times, because nobody is so near to you in your flesh as your family. You know all your life according to the flesh. But there's a very good verse. I want to read it to you. It's good for the family life. 2 Corinthians 5, 16. 2 Corinthians 5, 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Especially not our family. This is so important. We spend a lot of time with the family. I don't know my flesh and my mother anymore according to the flesh. If we do so, there will be so much more building up. Tell the Lord, with my parents, I want to walk in the Spirit. In the family, I want to walk in the Spirit. Because the family is a part of the church. If we're not getting edified in the church, it's very difficult to be edified in the church. We cannot separate this. We could mention many more practical examples, but we need this consciousness when we go home from here. Lord Jesus, I want to walk by my Spirit. If we don't learn that, it's a guarantee that we will not finish the church. If we don't learn to walk by the Spirit, because God seeks such who worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Lord waits for this. And why are there so many divisions today? Why is the church not finished yet? Because for us Christians, it so became so normal to live in the flesh. If you don't understand each other anymore, you don't get along with each other anymore, you found a new group. We had a presentation last year about the unity of the church. And then I read in church history and really saw the reason for every further group was a separation out of the flesh. A different teaching, different people that were followed. So what is the issue that the Lord cannot have the Eve after 2,000 years? There was not a single group of people that absolutely lived through the Spirit. And this is why it is so important that we really take this home. That we tell the Lord, Lord, teach me how to walk by my Spirit. And don't ask, how do you do it? Or what is the method? How can I do it? We have the best teacher within us. Come to the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, you live in me. You live in my spirit. Show me how I walk by my spirit. The Lord will show it to us. There are definitely many things that can help us to walk by the Spirit. We need a life supply. It's important to eat the Lord. It's good that we eat the Lord every day. It's good that we call upon the Lord. The Lord has shown us many ways to exercise and strengthen our spirit. And Paul also prayed directly after he has shown the mystery of the church in Ephesians 3:16. There was so much this prayer in him that now he will give you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. And this is what we need. Tell the Lord, Lord, strengthen my inner man. Many times we feel weak, but we can say, Lord Jesus, strengthen my inner man. And we can call upon the Lord. It's such a good way. Call upon the Lord as many times as you can. This really strengthens your spirit. Especially if we're not more with so many as here in the conference. If you're by yourself at home, at work, and you feel, oh, it's getting difficult now. Call upon the Lord. Lord Jesus, we can all say this is a very fast way to be strengthened in the Spirit, to turn to your Spirit, or take a few verses with you and eat them. Seek the fellowship. There are so many ways, but we need a strengthened Spirit. This is our burden for tonight. All the other points that I said about the church, the Lord will do it all if we learn to walk by the Spirit. We have a very strong burden for the unity, for the oneness, but the unity is only the Spirit. In the flesh, there will always be division. If we deal with each other in the flesh, sooner or later, this will cause a division. And that's why, if you are together with brothers and sisters that you know very well, or with your most, with your favorite brother or sister, you are together, let us all exercise to walk by the Spirit. Especially if we know each other so well and have so much to tell. It's so good to say, Lord, I know this brother who I like so much, no more according to the flesh. I want to know him in the Spirit. I want to be built up with him. So for the unity, you can say many things, but the unity is produced by the Spirit. Let's read this verse from John 17. John 17. You can read those verses at home about the unity. But John 17 is really important. 20 to 23. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through the word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. He says that they all may be one. This is the prayer of the Lord before he got captured and brought to the cross. So we see what is most in the heart of the Lord. It is the unity, the oneness of the believers. He prays so much. Not just for the disciples back then, but all those who will believe in him. All believers. He prayed that they all will be one. And what a unity is this? As you, Father, in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And now I jump to 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know. Here it's even written, be made perfect in one. How does the Lord perfect Eve when we all get built up in the Spirit into this unity? This is a way to perfection. And here he says, as you, Father, in me and I in you, such a unity. It's all about such a unity. The Lord was all the time fully one with the Father. When you have seen the Lord, you have seen the Father. And he said, he who sees me sees the Father. And he does the works of his Father. Christ and the Father, they were fully one. And the Lord prays that this unity will become our unity. This is amazing. So this unity is not just that we have the same interests, or that we get along with each other very well, or not just that we have the same opinion. This unity is a full perfect unity in the Spirit, and that they will be in us. So the brother and you, you both have to be in the Lord to experience this unity, that they may also be in us. The only way to experience the unity is we all walk by the Spirit. And if we have relationship with each other in the Spirit, praise the Lord, and then the world will believe. The testimony of the church is really the unity. And many testify this. What drew them into the church life was the oneness. A oneness they have not seen before. And this oneness is so precious. The Lord has all given the same Spirit, the same Lord. You can read it in Ephesians 5, verse 3 to 6. The Lord has prepared everything that we can be made perfect in one, but you need to live by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. We don't need to say so much about unity, but we need to experience the unity and enjoy it. We just sang the song before, and this is also our experience to a certain degree. But let us really ask the Lord, Lord, bring us to full unity. Lord Jesus, I want to be fully one with the brothers and sisters in my city. And finally, we all read Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And he who hears, let him say, Come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Isn't that good? At the very end we see the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. All at the end we see the Spirit and the Bride are fully made into one. The Bride really has prepared herself in the Spirit. She's learned to be one with the Lord in the Spirit. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. So praise the Lord. We today are really the Bride of the Lord. And we are here on this earth to prepare ourselves for the coming back of the Lord. Let us say, Lord Jesus, I want to be one with my Spirit. And we go back to our cities. Let us have this attitude and exercise, no matter how many we are, especially if we are few. Lord, build with us every day the church. Build with us your counterpart, your Eve. We are really blessed. Praise the Lord, we can bring the Lord back.